moods of intense emotional patriotism with such dedication that they will sacrifice anything and go to any effort to help bring about our collective national goal. We just don't have any such national goal. No national purpose that we're working unitedly toward. We're not willing to make just any sacrifice, even to our lives, at least most of our people are not, to achieve some united American or British goal. We're merely trying to hang on to what we have. The communists educate their people, that is, they brainwash them into an emotional, almost frenzied dedication to their goal of bringing the whole world under the communist sway. If one from the free world issues a statement accusing, condemning communism, exposing it, telling people what it is, that's never printed in the communist newspapers. It's never broadcast in Russia. The Russian people never hear anything about it. But just let a Kremlin leader or any other who is hostile to the United States falsely accuse or say nasty things about the United States, and the United States newspapers will give it banner headlines, and our news magazines will give it millions of dollars worth of free space. They don't have to buy advertising space. Our radio and television news blast it out as the top story of the day. I never could understand that. Communists hear only what their masters, their rulers, want them to hear. We have no such system in this country, but we do let the Russian masters speak to our people anything they want to say. Well, what about Russia? The future is all laid out in the prophecies of the Bible. Russia is definitely featured as a major power in the prophecies. Now, I'll get to that in a moment. But look first briefly at the situation of the moment that involves Russia. It's true that tensions between the Kremlin and Washington have eased somewhat for the present. There are pressures on the Kremlin that are mostly responsible for that. Pressures from other sources right now that are actually beneficial to the United States. There's fear in Moscow of a more aggressive military buildup in Red China. Even there is fear of a possible United States-China alliance against Russia. There is discontent and criticism in Russia among the peasants and the population generally because of industrial lag and the giant crop failures. All this causes the Kremlin bosses to avoid every possible way they can any new arms race with the United States. They just can't afford to get in a war with us right now. They can't afford to risk any armed clash at the moment. However, the communists have not for one second relaxed their long-range goal to conquer or to destroy all the free world eventually. I'm not saying that they'll do it. I'm merely telling you their goal. They are dedicated to it, and if it takes even 2, 3, or 4 generations to do it, and they keep educating their young people coming along so that they're just as frenzied in their patriotism and in their achieving of that goal as the older generation. Now, what's prophesied? And why is approximately one-third of the Bible devoted to prophecy? Didn't you ever wonder about that? Why so much of the Bible devoted to prophecy, about one-third of the whole Bible? And why is the Bible concerned about such nations as Russia? For Russia and the Oriental world are definitely described, and events in which they figure definitely are described in the prophecies. Even small nations like Ethiopia and Libya are mentioned in the Bible prophecies. And believe it or not, the United States and the British nations are mentioned. Do you know where? You probably don't. Events of today are foretold in Bible prophecy. Events very soon now to occur are described. Now, my friends, if you want to know where the United States and the British Commonwealth nations are mentioned in the Bible prophecies, why don't you write in for our free booklet, The United States and British Commonwealth in Prophecy? That's an amazing booklet. It's quite a thick little booklet. You could almost call it a book. But it'll certainly open your eyes. It is an eye-opener, and it is proved. Well, why have these prophecies never been generally understood? You know, when you stop to think, a third of the Bible devoted to prophecy, and people have not understood the prophecies. Why should they be there? Why have they not been understood? Why all of this mystery? Well, I'll give you 2 very definite reasons why the prophecies have not been understood, and also I'll explain why they're there. One is explained in the book of Daniel. In the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th chapters of Daniel are found the longest prophecy in all the Bible. Daniel had seen an archangel in a vision. Now, he was having a vision, and in this vision, an archangel appeared to speak to him. And this archangel was giving the prophet Daniel a panorama of world events from Daniel's time, beginning at that time, and continuing on through the generations, through the reign of Cyrus, the king of Persia, who was reigning at the time of this vision, on down through events now imminent in this latter half of the 20th century. At the end of the vision, the archangel said to Daniel, as you'll read in the 12th chapter and verse 4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end." Now, he's talking about a definite time here that is called the time of the end. And that is mentioned in many places in the Bible, in many of the prophecies. I'll explain that in just a moment. But anyway, he told Daniel to shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. It wouldn't be understood until then. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. Now, at the time of the end, there are two of the signs to identify the time of the end, when there will be a big explosion in knowledge, a knowledge explosion, knowledge increasing, and people running to and fro. In other words, a great increase in rapid transportation, which they never had until really, comparatively, quite recently. And then again, begin with verse 8. Daniel continues writing here. He says, "I heard, but I understood not." He didn't understand what this archangel was revealing to him. "And then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" In other words, he asked the archangel to explain the prophecy to him. And he, that is the archangel, said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed till the time of the end." You see, they could not be understood until the time of the end. Now, we are in the time of the end. I'll give you the proof of that in just a moment. Then the angel continued, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand." They certainly have not understood. "But the wise shall understand." So, this prophecy was hidden from human understanding until the time of the end. Well, we're in that time of the end now.
Herbert W. Armstrong will return right after this message. History shows there have always been wars, disease, and famine, threats to local populations. But never before has the possibility of total annihilation of the human race existed until this age of the arms race, nuclear stockpiles, overkill, and the hydrogen bomb. An entire generation has learned to live under the shadow of the mushroom cloud. We've heard talk not of if World War III comes, but when. Ours is indeed a unique moment in history. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, states a 1900-year-old warning by the prophet Jesus Christ. Are we living in the last days? You need to know. Request this important booklet for a full understanding. Your copy is free. There's no charge or follow-up. Request, "Are We Living in the Last Days?" Send your request to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123.
But now notice, who are the ones that will be able to understand at the time of the end? It says the wise will understand, but none of the wicked will understand. Well, who does the Bible say are the wise? Well, we read here in the 111th Psalm in the 10th verse, "The fear of the eternal," it says, "is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments," that keep the commandments of God. The Ten Commandments, which are merely just 10 broad principles to be applied to various circumstances. When Jesus was on earth, he amplified the Ten Commandments. He magnified them and showed that they cover a very great deal of ground. But my friends, not very many people will keep the Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, most religious people, many church denominations, will tell you they're done away. Christ did away with them. Jesus didn't say so. He said, "I've kept my Father's commandments." He says, "I've set you an example that you should do as I have done." But people don't want to do that. So there are not many that would understand, and there's the explanation, believe it or not, like it or not, that's what the Bible says. It's not what I say, it's what the Bible says. But there's another reason why the prophecies have not been understood. They relate one way or another to the very gospel that God Almighty sent to mankind by Jesus Christ. And not very many know what that gospel is. Not very many realize that Jesus came as a messenger from God, bearing a message from God to mankind, and that the gospel is that message. But men rejected that message. Men crucified Jesus because of that message. They didn't crucify him because they had halitosis. They didn't crucify him because they didn't like his looks or his personality, because of he had B.O. or anything of that kind. They didn't like what he said. They crucified him because of that message. And that message was a great announcement that had never been made to the world before. And God intended that that announcement go to the world, especially now at this time of the end. I'm going to show you more of that too. Well, after the original apostles, men went out preaching Christ. Oh, yes, they preached Christ, and nearly everybody thinks that's the gospel, just preaching Christ, preaching about Christ. Receive Christ. Receive him as your personal Savior. Give your heart to Christ, they say. Oh, they preach Christ. Well, you know, there's another scripture, Jesus himself. Well, I'll quote it for you after a bit. I'll read it right out of the Bible, where he said that many would come in his name, that is, come as the servants of Christ, coming, posing as the ministers of Christ, and preaching Christ, and saying that Jesus is the Christ, and yet deceiving the many. Now, how can you do that? How could you worship Christ and still do it all in vain? Well, Jesus said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men and making the law of God. That's the Ten Commandments of no effect by your tradition. The tradition says they're done away. And by that, they make the law of God of no effect and they worship Christ in vain. At least that's what Jesus said. Well, instead they've been preaching Christ all right, preaching about Christ, preaching about his person, but not proclaiming worldwide his message, his gospel, the message, the great announcement that God sent by him. That, my friends, is the gospel. Now, I want you to notice what was Jesus' gospel. What truly was the gospel and is the gospel of Jesus Christ is not merely a message about Christ, but his gospel we find here in the first chapter of Mark. And the first verse of Mark, you will notice it, quote, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now the next verse says, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare the way before thee. Now that messenger was John the Baptist. The next verse says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and so on. Now it continues the story about John's baptism, how Christ came to be baptized of John, how the Holy Spirit descended on Christ after he was baptized, and how God from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and how then Jesus had to submit to the most severe temptation that probably has ever come to any human being, a temptation from Satan the devil, to see whether he could qualify to replace this Satan and rule the whole world. You'll notice here, it continues then in verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, finally John was put in prison. So it merely continues with John's message up to the point he was put in prison. Then Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What gospel? What message did he bring? There was a messenger that prepared the way before him. That was John the Baptist. But Jesus was a messenger who came with the message from God. And his message was the kingdom of God. Now, the word gospel merely means good news. It was a news announcement. It was a news announcement of something in the future. It was a prophecy. Notice now, verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled. It was fulfilled because at last someone had qualified to become the ruler of the whole world and to replace Satan the devil, which the Bible says does exist, which the Bible says time and time again is broadcasting, and that the spirits within human beings are in tune with his wavelength, and they're getting it. He doesn't broadcast in words. He doesn't broadcast in sounds. He broadcasts in moods and in attitudes. and in impulses, in attitudes, for example, of vanity, of lust and greed, and of jealousy and of envy, and of resentment against authority. That is the kind of attitudes he broadcasts, and nearly all, well, in fact, I think I could say all humans have received it except Jesus Christ. That is the carnal nature within man, and that's where it really comes from, my friends. Now, he said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, because now he had qualified to rule it. Then he said, repent ye and believe what? Believe on Christ? Well, in other places, yes. But here it says, believe the gospel. Believe the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what he said to believe. But people don't believe it because they haven't even heard it. And people don't even know that that is the gospel. And I've even heard ministers say over the air that the gospel of the kingdom is not for our time now. It was only for Jews or something like that. Well, my friends, everywhere Jesus went about teaching and preaching the kingdom of God. All of his parables were about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like this, and the kingdom of God is like unto that, and so on, explaining the kingdom of God. The apostles were taught, and they preached that message. The apostle Paul preached the kingdom of God to the Gentiles. These prophecies of Daniel tell about the ancient kingdom of Babylon and the kingdoms or nations or empires of Persia, of Greece, and of Rome, on down through our time, and then finally the kingdom of God that shall take over all of these kingdoms or governments or nations on this earth that have succeeded those ancient kingdoms, starting from Babylon or the Chaldean Empire and ancient Assyria even before that, down to our day, and the kingdom of God shall rule the whole world, all nations. Now, that's even back here in Daniel's prophecy. Notice it now, back in the second chapter of the book of Daniel, prophecy of Daniel, and verse 44. I'll just read you the close of it. It has been talking about these other empires, starting with Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Chaldean or the Babylonish Empire. And it carries it on down to our time today, at the time of the end. And in verse 44, it says, and in the days of these kings, that's human kings ruling on earth, either right now or maybe in the next 1, 2, 5, 10 years. I don't know just when, but very, very soon. In the days of these kings, in our time, this time of the end, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. This is back in Daniel's prophecy. Verse 44 of the second chapter. Shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. You see, it's not talking about an ethereal, emotional, or sentimental something set up in men's hearts. It's talking about a literal government to overthrow and to take over the other governments of this earth and to rule the whole world. That's precisely what it's talking about. Now, Daniel also had a vision or a dream of his own that's recorded in the 7th chapter of his book of Daniel. And now let's just begin with the 23rd verse. I've covered this before, so I'm just going to cover the essential brief part here. Thus he said, the angel is explaining it now to Daniel, what he had seen in his dream. The fourth beast, he had seen four wild animals or beasts. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. It started with Babylon, next was the Persian Empire, then the Greco-Macedonian Empire, and now the fourth one, which was the Roman Empire, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it to pieces. The Roman Empire did do that long, long ago. And now there were 10 horns out of that beast that was the Roman Empire. Now it explains what they symbolize, because the horns were merely a symbol. And the 10 horns out of the kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the other, and will subdue 3 kings, and so on. Now it carries on unto the end, as you read in the latter words of verse 26. Now I want you to listen to verse 27. And the kingdom and the dominion, speaking of nations, of worldly governments on this earth, the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, this is not up in heaven, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Now it'll be given to Christ and to those who are his, who are called the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Now, you see that even the prophecies were talking about the gospel. Why is a third of all the Bible prophecy? Because, my friends, the gospel is prophecy. The gospel is the kingdom of God. And all of these things concern the governments of this world leading into the time of the government of God or the kingdom of God. Because prophecy is concerned directly with the gospel. Now, when people don't know that the gospel is the gospel of a great worldwide government, and when they make it an ethereal nothing or a sentimental bit of hogwash or something set up in men's hearts, you naturally haven't heard the gospel, and you naturally just don't know what it means. But these kingdoms of human government on earth, God knew, would bring evils. He knew that they would bring wars, economic, social, and moral decay and chaos upon themselves until finally, in our time, we would come down to a time that Jesus himself described in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Matthew, the 24th chapter, and in verses 21 and 22. Now notice the kind of time that Jesus said we would finally come to. Then, at the time of the end, in which he's been explaining before, in verses just ahead of this, for then shall be great tribulation, that is, a great worldwide trouble, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. Now notice, the greatest time of world trouble that has ever happened in all the world, up to this time, no nor ever shall be, and never will happen again. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Or, as the Moffat translation has it, no flesh would be saved alive. No human being would be left alive. Human life would be erased from the face of the earth. And probably all animal and plant life along with it. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now we are assured that humanity will go on, that God is going to intervene, that God is going to stop this hellish mess, and God is going to bring us world peace with the kingdom of God. And that's exactly where it leads into. Now, while I have the Bible open to this 24th chapter of Matthew, I want you to notice what led up to it and what something else that comes at this same time. Begin with verse 4, 24th chapter of Matthew. No, verse 3. Begin with verse 3. And as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? He'd been telling them about three things. One, that all the big stones of the temple would be thrown down till there would not be one stone upon another. And, well, let's just go back. Now, notice what he was saying. He had been showing them the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see ye not these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon the other that shall not be torn down or thrown down. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, now just a little bit later, and they went up there, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Now they wanted to know when those stones would be thrown down. That did happen in 70 A.D. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? They thought it would happen by that time, or sooner, or immediately. That is the sign of the second coming of Christ and of the end of the world. Now, the word world is an English word. It doesn't mean the end of the earth or the earth's existence. It comes from the Greek word aeon, which means the end of this age or the end time. Now, he's talking about the end of this world or this age, this time. Now, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying that I am the Christ. Oh, yeah, they come, they say they're ministers of Christ. They say that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and shall deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. And there'll be pestilences and famines and earthquakes. These are the beginning of sorrows. But the end is not yet, he had said, on those things. For, notice in verse 11, many false prophets will arise and deceive many. In verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, that is, the gospel of the kingdom of God, which has not been preached for 18 and one half centuries on the earth. Don't ask me why, my friends. I'm not responsible for it. It is a fact. I'm merely stating a fact. The gospel of the kingdom was not proclaimed worldwide on this earth for 18 1/2 centuries, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You see, it wouldn't be preached until the time of the end. That gospel has been preached since 1934 by me, by radio, by television, in the Plain Truth magazine, in many booklets, and in many other ways. But it was not until now. Never before has there been a time when men could annihilate all human life off this earth. Now, you see, we come to that time now, too, since the invention and the production of the hydrogen bomb and of nuclear warfare. Now it's possible to annihilate all human life off the face of this earth for 50 times over, or 50 earths or worlds like ours. My friends, there never was any time like that that could come to the time of the end until the hydrogen bomb. We're in it now. Now, I'd like to go back and tell you what's going to happen from now up until the kingdom of God, but time has run out. I'll continue that. Meantime, listen on most of these stations daily. Now, I want to offer you a certain booklet that you really need, because no one has understood about the kingdom of God. Just what is it? I have a special booklet on the kingdom of God. Write in for this booklet on the kingdom of God. It will show you where you can just turn to your own Bible and read it for yourself. So all you do is, for that booklet, United States and British Commonwealth in Prophecy, and the one on the kingdom of God, write in for any one or all of those booklets. They're free. And also, write in for the book on explaining this book of Revelation as I'm going through, and it'll give you charts and things that you can understand, and then in the next few programs you can get it out and you'll understand it better as I go into it myself. So all you do is send your request to me, Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111 in Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. And in Vancouver, Box 44, Vancouver, B.C. So until next Sunday, or tomorrow on daily on most of these stations, goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong, sponsored by the Worldwide Church of God. For literature offered on this program, send your requests along with the call letters of this station to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123.